In today's gospel, we encounter the famous story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary. As I've explained many times before, it is the common Catholic tradition that the Mary in this story is also known to us as Saint Mary Magdalene. This coming Friday, we celebrate her feast, and this year it is the first time it's elevated to the rank of a solemn celebration comparable to the feasts of Saint John the Baptist, Saint Lawrence, the first martyr, and the apostles. As again I've told you many times before, I have a particular devotion to Saint Mary Magdalene, going back to the day of my baptism when I was baptized in my parish church, which was named after Saint Mary Magdalene, and where I received all my sacraments up until the priesthood. This devotion has helped me in many different ways, including saving my life, at least on one occasion. But one of the most important things it's given me is a deeper appreciation for the great gift that women are and that women have, and how this gift given to them as women is expressed in various beautiful ways. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but no two women are exactly the same. Even the same woman can be different from herself sometimes. That's a joke. But seriously, like a diamond, each woman has many beautiful but very different facets. This is something that the Magdalene has helped me to appreciate. For example, she was once a terrible sinner. As Scripture tells us, Jesus had to drive 7 demons out of her. But she became a great saint, the great saint who was rewarded with becoming the first witness to the resurrection. 2 very different facets of the same woman. And I've learned to appreciate this in seeing how Mary Magdalene was also known as Mary Bethany. So she's not simply the great penitent saint, but she's also the young woman from a small town who used to irritate her sister Martha. And again, in the difference between Mary and Martha, we see the different gifts of individual women. On the one hand, the prayerful, meditative, adoring Mary, and on the other hand, the hardworking, organized, and dedicated Martha. Women come in all shapes and sizes, all ages, all colors, all kinds of different personalities and talents, and all kinds of moods. Again, some of these differences manifested in the same woman at either different times or even at the same time. What I'm trying to say is that women are amazing. But though they're different, they all have one thing in common. They are all women, or females. Let me change that. They have 2 things in common. They are females, and they are not males. Their femininity is expressed in many beautiful different ways, but from their very conception in their mother's womb, their XX chromosome is in their DNA and makes them fundamentally similar to each other, but radically different than males. This femininity normally blossoms in a beautiful way that we're all familiar with when in both body and spirit, a little girl becomes a young woman, as we euphemistically say, moving toward her truly miraculous and beautiful potential that is innate in her from her conception. And her body in particular speaks to this as she becomes capable of physically sharing love with a man in a way that binds them together and bears beautiful fruit, not only in the love of husband and wife, but in the love of parenthood. But this isn't simply a bodily phenomenon, but rather the feminine body speaks for the feminine soul and spirit, and gives not simply physically, but also emotionally and spiritually, and so expresses a unique and deep feminine capacity to love. And so, is it any wonder that Jesus would give a totally unique compliment to the woman, Mary Magdalene, a compliment he would never give to anybody else, especially in particular, no man, as he says of her, she has loved much. Now, of course, men love also, but they love in a different way. Feminine love is expressed and experienced differently and amazingly. For example, the most beautiful example, perhaps, is only women can love like a mommy. And you can't define that. You just know what it is. Now, it's clear that not all women develop in the same way. Again, every woman is different from the next. But just as no two roses are exactly the same but are still roses, all women are different but still women. Even though a rosebud might not blossom fully into a dazzling flower, it still always contains in its essence the beauty of the rose. Mary and Martha are very different, but they also both are very feminine. They love very deeply, but they express that feminine love in different feminine ways. Martha by taking care of Jesus, and Mary by sitting adoringly at his feet. Men, now be truthful with yourselves. What son or husband can't relate to this and appreciate this, or at least long for this? A mother or a wife who both takes care of him and adores him like nobody else can or does. This uniqueness, common to and uniting all women in a true sisterhood, is, again, amazing and beautiful. And yet this unique gift has been repeatedly ignored or diminished by both men and women since the time of Adam and Eve. But perhaps no time has it ever been worse than in the last 50 years, as the gift of womanhood is under assault as never before. Surprisingly, this was perhaps first manifested through the feminist movement in the 1960s. Started off with very good intentions, and in the beginning, the movement clearly recognized the important differences between men and women and the unique blessing of femininity or womanhood. But it quickly became more radicalized, and more, it argued that the differences between men and women were really merely accidents of biology, and that they really didn't matter very much at all. And in the end, this denial of the significance of the differences began to dominate not only feminism, but also a whole new approach to sexuality in general. So that an increasingly strong current in society began to tell women that they should not cherish their femininity or femaleness. In particular, they promoted a denial of motherhood, both in body and in spirit. First of all, in promoting contraception, and then abortion. Contraception degraded the physical capability of women of motherhood, recharacterizing the sexual expression of their bodies from being an expression of self-giving love that creates a new life into a mere pleasure-seeking lust that leaves them in loneliness. And abortion, denying the spiritual or emotional aspect of motherhood, as they taught women to, in effect, destroy their special, protective, and nurturing motherly love by destroying their own babies. And what was the result of all of this? At first glance, perhaps the dignity and appreciation of women seems to have been promoted. They argue that we could look and see how many women have risen to high positions in government and military and business. But a second look, a more careful look, shows a very different picture than that. There's more to the story. Now more than ever, women are degraded by men and by themselves. Look at the tremendous rise of pornography that uses womanhood and most especially the beauty of womanhood, the external beauty, physically, but also emotionally, as something to be abused, not a person and a gift to be cherished. And look at the rise in the number of single mothers, again, used by men temporarily until they're done with them and they want to move on, rather than being adored by men who commit themselves to cherish the woman as their wife for the rest of their lives. And then look at the rise of homosexuality. Male homosexuality, which is by far the dominant force in the so-called gay rights movement, says nothing if not, we don't need women, neither for love, nor sex, nor to bear and raise our children. And even female homosexuality seems to be largely the result of abuse or abandonment by men, especially by fathers, who do not appreciate the beauty of true womanhood. And most amazingly, finally, look at the rise of the transgender movement. As if men didn't have enough benefits and privileges in society, now they want the good things that belong naturally only to women. It's not enough that some men strangely want to act like a woman, but now they demand that if they say so, you must agree that they are a woman. How degrading is that to real women? Think about this. I'm sorry, but a transgendered man hasn't a clue what it's like to feel like a woman. Think about this. I mean, as a simple example, think of all the unique pain and difficulties you women endure monthly and in childbirth. No man ever experiences that, period. End of discussion. All the amazing differences in your bodies, inside and out. Your bodies on the outside are beautiful, but inside even more so, as they're so intricately designed to make babies beautiful. And your souls and your spirit, your feminine capacity to love and to nurture. No man has that. But these men insist they are women. And all this means, really, is that being created by God in the womb as a woman and having the DNA and the XX chromosomes of a woman and all the bodily and spiritual and emotional factors that that involves, all that means nothing. In effect, they're saying being a woman is meaningless. But that's not what Jesus thinks. After all, he created you, and he knows you. He established the equality of male and female, but he also created us differently and gave you women that very special gift of femininity. But that's not all he says. Remember, he grew for 9 months in his mommy's womb, and he nursed at her breast. And as a boy, he was taught by that remarkable woman to appreciate the true dignity and wonder of womanhood. And when he performed his first miracle at Cana, and when he was dying on the cross, he didn't call her mommy, as beautiful as that word is. He called her by the highest honor that he could. He called her woman. And not only that, he sat in the home of Martha and Mary, chastely experiencing and appreciating their feminine love, very feminine love, both in Martha's active service and Mary's humble adoration. And then from the cross, looking down, he saw that feminine love again, practiced in different ways. But he saw it very distinctly as he looked down and saw only one of his male disciples. But as St. Matthew tells us in his gospel, quote, many women were there. Many women were there. They had followed Jesus to care for his needs. Close quote. And of course, among these many women were his mother and Mary Magdalene. Two very different women, but two united by a distinctly feminine love and devotion for Jesus. All of us are humble sinners. Nobody is perfect. But all of us are created in the image of God, created for and offered to share in the life and love of God Himself. But we're created to share in that differently, in beautiful ways, as male and female. I thank God I'm a man. I'm very happy in my manhood, and I thank God for it. But I also thank God for the gift of womanhood in all its different expressions. Women, never forget this. You are wonderfully made by God. And men, never forget this either. Women are wonderfully made by God. As we turn now more profoundly to the mystery of the Eucharist, we prepare ourselves to enter into the real presence of Jesus, just as Martha and Mary were in his real presence in Bethany, in their home, and just as the Blessed Mother and the Magdalene were in his real presence at the foot of the cross. Let us ask these holy women now to teach us how to love and adore our Lord as we should, as they once did, and as they do now perfectly in heaven, each in their own very different feminine ways. And as we leave here today, through their intercession and filled with the grace of this sacrament, may we always steadfastly cherish, defend, and proclaim to a very confused world God's unique and amazing gift of womanhood. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.